That's where Paul stood, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I love you. Amen. Appreciate you. Thank God for you.
Amen. Amen. We are thankful to be in the Lord's house again tonight. Thank God for this good day He's blessed us with. His many blessings. Surely He has been better to me than I deserve. I do count it an honor and a privilege just to be able to be here with you once again tonight. My, how the Lord has blessed us this day and on yesterday. And surely God's been good to us, gave us a good weekend. And we are thankful for the goodness of the Lord. You pray that the Lord would help us tonight. Surely we do need Him. And a lot of times we stand, we feel unprepared, and we don't know very much ourselves. Can't boast in any knowledge that we do know. But you pray that the Lord would help us tonight and have His way. Maybe something to be said or done to be a help and a blessing to you tonight. But if you have your Bibles, want to turn with us to the book of 2 Samuel tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Maybe I read to you several verses, and you pray that the Lord would help us tonight and have His way. We thought coming down the road, a lot of different things running through our mind, and seemingly like it was hard to get settled on what the Lord would have, but you pray that the Lord would help us tonight and have His will and His way. Good to be in the house of God tonight. Thank God for this privilege. But in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. And the Bible said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machar, the son of Amiel, and Lodibar. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machar, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul, and all to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, I shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually in the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. Thankful for the reading of the word of the Lord tonight. But we thought here in the word of God, no doubt we've not brought anything to you new tonight. We don't have anything new, but I am glad for the good word of God. And I find that His blessings are still new each and every morning and each and every time that we stand. I'm glad, thank God, that He's got something new for me. But we find that the Word of God tells us here very familiar scripture about Mephibosheth. And you know what? We think of him oftentimes, and we know by just reading just a little bit, no doubt I've seen myself in the shape that Mephibosheth was in. And we know that that history teaches us that when the king, when Saul and Jonathan were slain, that the nanny, I guess if you'd have it, of Mephibosheth, the maid of Mephibosheth, she got word that Saul and Jonathan were killed on the battlefield. So immediately she began to run when Mephibosheth
Mephibosheth, because she knew that they would be there to kill Mephibosheth before long. But the Word of God tells us that she fell, and from that time forward, that Mephibosheth was lame of his feet. So we find here in the Word of God that Mephibosheth, though that he was lame, and though this sad tonight that no doubt he wasn't able, but we think how that Mephibosheth got down to a place called Lodibar, and we know that Lodibar is that place and has the meaning of the land of nothing, a desolate place, a place where God doesn't dwell and God doesn't pass by. And you know what? That's where I was at one day, in a place called Lodibar. But we find out here in the Word of God that David, now here in the Word of the Lord, he wasn't going to continue on like the kings before him. But David began to inquire and ask a question. And he said that, David, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And you know what? Ziba, the servant here in the Word of God, says, the only one that I know of is an old boy by the name of Mephibosheth. And said, King, he ain't going to be no threat to you, and he ain't going to be no threat to the throne. He's just a little old crippled boy dwelling down in the land of Lodibar. And he's forgot about, and he's just a burden to all that's around him. And somebody's having to wait on him hand and foot all the time. And somebody's having to take care of him. But David, no doubt he insisted that they would go get Mephibosheth from the land of Lodibar. That land this morning of nothing. So we find here in the Word of the Lord, no doubt they came down to Lodibar to retrieve Mephibosheth. And you know what? They said, Brother Joel, King David has sent us down here to retrieve you out of this place. And aren't you glad that the God of heaven came to the place where you was at one day? And you know what I thought while we was coming down the road today? No doubt we thought about Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. And the Bible said the very first thing that we see happen in Genesis 1 before anything was ever created is the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And ain't you glad for the day that the Spirit moved and convicted your heart and showed you as a sinner, and no doubt showed you that without Him that you would dwell in the land of Lodibar, that you would be nothing this afternoon. But I'm glad, just as old Mephibosheth did here in the Word of the Lord, there was a fear struck the heart of Mephibosheth. No doubt he knew what was getting ready to befall him. And you know what? Up until the time of Christ, you and I was lost, headed for hell with no hope. But I sure am glad there was one that wanted to have mercy and grace upon you and upon me. That the God of heaven this evening sent His only begotten Son to hang and to bleed and die between the heaven and earth, that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly tonight. So we find that David sent for Mephibosheth. And can you imagine the shape that this old crippled boy was in? And you know what? He wasn't no doubt in the finest of home. I believe he was a burden to everybody that was around him. And nobody cared for Mephibosheth very much. I believe they give him enough just to get by with. But can you imagine this old crippled boy that he's come up out of Lodibar and he's for fearing in his heart. And no doubt there's a fear dwelling in his soul. He knows he's probably getting ready to lose his life. And you know what we thought here just a while back? We thought about that maid that was taking care of Mephibosheth. And even thought of her, Brother Joel, being a type of the law. That one time carried me and carried you. But you know what? The law couldn't hold us. And we couldn't keep the law. Thank God that it dropped us. And from that time forward, we were lame. And we were crippled in our sin and the situation we was in. But oh, ain't you glad there's a God in heaven? I just no doubt that wanted. And I still believe in my heart, if they'd ever been only one that were repented, God would have still sent His Son. Christ would have still shed His blood. He would have still shed every drop that He had. But here we find, no doubt He's retrieved Mephibosheth back to his house. And David, the Bible said that he came in the presence of David and he fell on his face in reverence. And you know what? There was a fear. And Mephibosheth just looked just like an old bum. No doubt if he thought, surely this will be my last time. And you know what I can remember? When I was lost and undone, and the Holy Ghost visited me and began to deal with me and to show me my need and to show me my situation, I didn't think that I'd ever be worthy enough. And I realized I'm not. I just like old Mephibosheth was. I battled that there for just a little while. Lord, I'm not worthy of it and I don't deserve it. And there's none of us in here that do tonight. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven. And no doubt His love knows no bounds. And you know what? I believe this tonight here in the Word of God, as Mephibosheth fell. And he said, behold thy servant. And you know what? Mephibosheth was willing to do whatever he could do, though he was lame. And he didn't have anything to give. He didn't have anything the king desired. And the Bible don't say. But I believe he said, Joel, I ain't going to be no threat to you. I'm not going to try to take over. And I'm not going to try to take the throne. And I don't want. That was my father's. You can send me back to Lodibar and I'll be just fine. But you know what the King David said unto him? He said, fear not. He said, I'm going to show you some kindness. Though you're just an old lame crippled boy. And though you've been a burden on the community and you've been a burden on those that's taking care of you. He said, I've moved you up here to the king's house. And he said, I didn't move you up here just to make you just. I wanted my hired hands. He said, I know that you're not able. And I know surely your disability tonight. He said, but I'm going to feed you at my table. Not just one time. And not just during the morning or during the evening. But the Bible said that he said, I'm going to feed you here continually from now on. And he said, all that your father, Jonathan had, and all that Saul had, he said, I'm going to give it to you. And ain't you glad that our father owns the cattle of 1,000 hillsides? That surely tonight, what I've got here ain't going to last but just for a little while. But I'm glad he's going to prepare us a place. And no doubt, there'll be no, surely you think about it, there won't be no deeds for me and no deeds for you over there. But I'm glad it's all mine and it's all yours. I'm glad he's gone to prepare us that place. Thanks be to God today. But we think about Mephibosheth here. And you know what? In this day, it's not really a big burden to folks like it was in that day to be a cripple. We've come so far and advanced in technology that most crippled folks, they can get along pretty good without the help of any individual. But oh, it wasn't that way in this day. Malachi leaned on and depended upon somebody that they'd take care of him. And you know what? I believe that Malachi's heart was humbled. And then he told the king, he said, why should you look upon such a dead dog as I am? He was saying, Brother Joel, I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve, no doubt, just to be under your roof. And I surely don't deserve to come to your table. But he said, I don't know why that you'd look on such a dead dog as I am. And we think about what he said here in the Word of God. That name Mephibosheth, meaning out of the mouth of Cain. He said, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability. And ain't that just like the God of heaven? That he'll take you just like you are. And you know what? The world wouldn't have me. And most religious crowd wouldn't have me. And most church folks wouldn't have me. But I'm glad that he came to me one night and he took me just like I was. When everybody else may have been finished and when everybody else wrote me off and wrote you off, just like they did on Mephibosheth here in the Word of the Lord. You know what? Everybody else wrote you off and said, there's no use. There's no hope. Even old Ziba said, I believe Ziba was thinking along the lines, Mephibosheth's not going to be any use. You can't do anything with him tonight. But David still desired that they bring Mephibosheth to him. And you know what? Tonight, I believe David was telling Mephibosheth, he said, I'm just doing it all because that I love you tonight. And you know what? Surely I don't understand why God loves somebody like me. I could understand while he loves you, because I can't see the depths of your heart. I don't know where you have been, don't know what you have done, but I know where I've been, and I know what I've done tonight, and I don't understand, Brother Joel, why that he loves me. I can understand why he loves everybody else, but it makes me stand in awe to wonder why the God of heaven paid the price for me and paid the price all because that he loved me, all because that he wanted to redeem me and bring me that out of that land of Lodipar, where I would soon die. No doubt where death would come and take a hold of me. And you know what? But I sure am glad that he smiled down on me one day as the Spirit moved upon the waters, as he moved upon my heart, and he troubled that inward man and dealt with me one day. And you know what? I didn't have and still don't have very much of an education. But you know what, Brother Joel? The Holy Ghost showed me and convicted me one night that I was a sinner on my way to hell. That's where I deserve to be. And you know what? The fear, just like it did, oh, Mephibosheth gripped my heart, because there for a while I didn't see no way out. I didn't understand about Christ, and I didn't understand a lot of things. But ain't that just like God? He don't convict you, and he don't leave you without understanding. But he convicted me, and he caused me to understand that he loved me in spite of my sin, in spite of where I've been, in spite of what I've been through, that he convicted me and he loved me. And you know, I was just a little ignorant boy. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to say or do. I don't even think I knew the book of Romans existed. I knew a few Bible verses here and there. And you know what I thought the whole time? Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. But I can remember there's another Sunday night that he came to the place where I was at again. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I finally come to the conclusion, I guess, by the Holy Ghost, that you're going to have to get saved. How you going to have to get saved while he's around? That was him that was opening the door. That's the reason we've raised a generation that knows not the Lord. We've got them in through the windows, and we've got them into a broken religion, and we've got them in this way and that way. But I'm glad for the day that he opened the door, just like old King David did for Mephibosheth. And he opened the door and he said, I want you to come on in. I've got something special prepared for you. And you know what? I didn't know how to pray. All I knew, I was a sinner, and I was going to go to hell, and Christ was the only one to do anything about it. And you know what? That was sufficient, and that was enough. That the Lord saved me on that day. It didn't take no great scholar, no great education. That's all I knew, I was a sinner, and I was going to hell. But God loved me in spite of all that. That God paid the ultimate price because that he loved me, and he loved you tonight. Just like old Mephibosheth did. I believe he spent most of his days trying to understand the love that King David had for him. And that's where I find myself a lot of times. You know, I heard the man of God preach last night, and he preached a great message over at my church. And that where old Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you know what, Brother Joel, I begin to think just here recently, and I don't want you to fall out with me, but just here recently, I can think of some times when I was out in the community or on the job, and I found myself just a little bit of ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what? That convicted my heart. There last night, I can understand why he loves everybody else. But I'm just an old failure. There ain't nothing to me, nothing good about me. But I don't understand why that he loves me. I don't understand it. Boy, he knew from the foundation of the world. He knew, no doubt, from the day that he saved me, Brother Dan, that I was going to fail him, that I was still going to sin against him, that I was going to come short. And you know what? Just like old David knew that Mephibosheth would never be one benefit to him. He said, I can live on without Mephibosheth, but Mephibosheth won't make it very long without me. You know what? We can, God can make it without me, and he can make it, no doubt, without you, but we'll not make it without him tonight. You'll not make it without him. Thank God tonight that the love of God that was shed abroad in my heart one day. Oh, Paul said, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Before I was ever conceived or you was conceived, Christ had me and you on his mind. I bet we could be saved by the good grace of God tonight. Boy, we live in a time where folks are trying to get in any some other way. Word of God says we come any other way, we'd be the same as a thief and a robber. There's only one way, one God, one faith, one baptism. I thank God for that tonight, the way of Calvary tonight. But Mephibosheth, no doubt he was reassured about three different times. I didn't think about this till now. And he said, David told him in verse number 7, he said, you're going to eat bread at my table continually. I believe that's a representation of the Father. He tells him another time, I believe, in verse number 10, he said, Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread all the way at my table. I believe that's a representation of the son. He says in verse number 11, and he said, Mephibosheth said the king, he's to eat at my table as one of the king's sons. But we find it three different times. I believe to hear in the Word of God that he's reassuring Mephibosheth that he's going to eat that bread at his table continually forever and ever and ever. I believe David said, Mephibosheth, and you know what? He said, though you're crippled, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And you know what? The Lord, he didn't save this outward man, but he saved that inward man. So, you know what? On this natural side, I've still got a flesh problem. Oh, Mephibosheth, he was still lame at his feet, but it wasn't as bad as it used to be. And you know what? I've still got a flesh problem, but I sure am glad greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world, that I can overcome, that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things. I can overcome. And you know, you say, how can you do that? Because he did. Because he did. He overcame. The Bible said he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by the devil in the wilderness in all points as you and I are. When it says, I believe he was tempted, no doubt to lie and to cheat and to steal. You know what? I mention this sometimes at my church. I didn't try to mention it quite often if God allows. Because it's taking our young men and our young women and our young generation. Do you know what's taking hold and grabbing their minds? And no doubt taking them down to a road to destruction. We've got the internet so ever handy and everything ready. And before you know it, our young boys and young girls, I get caught up in looking at things they ought not to, and pornography takes a hold on them, and it'll destroy their life and their testimony. And you know, I read just a few weeks ago that they done a poll in a lot of our Baptist churches, and they found that if this is true, that 70 men claim to be predicted to some kind or addicted to some kind of pornography tonight. You can overcome because Christ was tempted in all points. I like you and I are, and I know a lot of times it gets quiet when we begin to mention that. And you'll say, preacher, this ain't the place for it. Oh, but it is the place for it. That we've won our children and our people. That the devil desires to have them, that he might sift them as wheat. That surely that he might take a hold of their minds. That he might convince them to do things and to get into sin that they can hardly ever return from. Boy, I can remember as being a young teenage boy, all that wasn't so easily just to get a hold of. But now, anything that you want to get a hold of, I can remember as being a teenage boy. We didn't have to worry about drugs in school. I didn't have to worry about drinking in school. And you know what? They'd have the occasional fist fight. And I went to high school. And you'd have a gun in the gun rack in your truck. That's where kids went crazy. Before mom and daddy's turned them loose to everything in the world, and we've let everything in the world go and let everything in the world has captured their minds. And you know what? God help us. The devil is out to take you and to take you captive and to take your mind tonight. But on Mephibosheth, here in the word of the Lord, he never, there's a lot of things, you know what? You may be here and you say, preacher, I've been in the house of God forever. That's where I've been raised at. Y'all thank God. You ain't missed a thing in the world. I don't ever think that you're missing nothing. I don't ever think that you've missed out. Because there ain't nothing in this world that it has to offer you. But sin, sin, sin. No doubt it'll get you in a place and it'll get you in a fix. So young person, don't ever think that you've missed out. Because you ain't got to run with the boys or run with the girls. I don't think you've missed out because you ain't got to do everything the world's doing. God's got a reason. He's got a purpose. He's got a use for you. When you get a little bit older, and you know what, and you grow up just a little bit, you look back and thank God you had a mom and daddy or somebody that bring you to the house of God. Somebody that set some rules down at your place. Somebody that loved you enough. Or you say, preacher, you ask Mephibosheth. He finally found somebody that loved him. You know what? But there was a day when nobody cared. He ended up down in Lodi Bar. He ended up to a land of nothing. And he ended up just being cast out. I would just arrest the old wretched, miserable, poor. And you know what? Even though a woman writer said I was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's what old John said that he pinned down there in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus told that Laodicean church. He said, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, you've got a great need. You know what we've got tonight in the house of God all over the country? We've got a great need for the moving of God. We've got a great need for the presence of God. We've got a great need that you and I, every once in a while I get complacent. Boy, if I go a while and I don't hear some good preaching, and it ain't all the preaching that's good in this day. But if I get somewhere and get in a place where I go a few weeks or a little while, Brother Joel, without hearing a man of God preach to me, no doubt if I'm not careful, I'll get in a place where I don't care. I'll get in a place where I think I'm better than everybody else. But I'm glad for the Word of God that'll keep me straight. I'm glad for the Word of God that's still working on me. And you know what? Oh, Mephibosheth. David said, I know you're lame and I know you're in a mess. You're always going to be at my table. And you say, preacher, I don't know how to fight this good fight. I stay around the Lord's table. He's prepared you a place. He's prepared you a place around His table of the good Word of God. I don't know how it is here, but up where I'm from, about 2.5 hours up the road, you've got to beg and plead them to come to the house of God. And you know what? You've got to call and search them out. I want to make sure everything's all right and okay. And you know what? It's most of that crowd that's struggling and battling. And the devil's defeating because they're missing their place down at the table. Because they ain't there to show up to eat. They ain't there to show up to get their help. That old Mephibosheth, I believe he said, I'm afraid to leave the table. Nobody might not bring me back. You know what? I believe for a few days he stayed around the table because it was something new to him. I remember when I first got saved. No doubt. Boy, if we could go back, I'm joyous and I'm happy to be saved. But if we could get back to our first love. If we get back like it was when we first got saved, the first several days or the first few months, we want everybody to get what we got. But now we live in a day when if we're not careful, we'll get so conformed to the world. We've turned Christianity, it's no longer a joy, but we've turned it into a misery. Just by a lot of times the way we look or the way I look and the way we act. You know what? We don't have to come to the house of God. We get to. Boy, it shouldn't be a misery tonight. But God, I believe old Mephibosheth, he realized the shape he is in. And every time the dinner bell rung, he didn't say, well, I got to go back to the king's table. Boy, I believe he always remembered the way it was down in Lodi Bar. And no doubt him with some old dirty clothes on. Him probably hadn't had a bath in weeks or months. But here he's dwelling around the king's table. And somebody's providing his every need. Somebody's taking every bit of care of him. I don't think old Mephibosheth ever forgot what it's like to be lame down in Lodi Bar. Notice what he said in the very last verse. He said, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually. at the king's table. And it reminded us that he was lame on both of his feet. He was lame on both of his feet. Boy, he was still crippled, but he is at the king's table. And you know what? Surely I'm still in this flesh. I'm still in this body tonight, but I'm glad that I'm still at the king's table. I'm glad he didn't say this outward man, but that inward man, the word of God tells us, is renewed day by day.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad that he came to Lodi Bar, Isaiah, one day, ain't you? Ain't you glad that he delivered you? Ain't you glad that he brought you up and brought you out? A lot of people, they say they've been brought up and ain't never been brought out. You can't be brought up without being brought out. But I don't know, but it seems like we live in a time when religion, that's almost people's God. Boy, they've got enough to get them to church every once in a while. They've got enough that they'll be stirred. And you know what? I'm an emotional person. I get to think about the day the Lord saved me. And you know what? Sometimes it's all I can do to choke it back because I'm the same shape old Mephibosheth was. But you know what tonight? But we was reading here on the as we got down here, and the Word of God reminded me, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The woman at the well, was a religious woman. There ain't nothing wrong with religion. It was that religion that finally led her to salvation. She knew a little something about God. She knew a few things. And you know what? She said, "Our fathers meet here in this mountain yearly to worship." Over in John 4, I believe it was, he said, "You don't know what you're worshiping." He said, you know what? I'm afraid a lot of our churches across the country, they don't know what they're worshiping. Because God has never, they've never allowed God to bring them out of Lodi Bar. Do you realize how shameful that was for Mephibosheth to be brought in the presence of King David? A lot of folks want to get saved, but they want to hide all the shame. Boy, they don't want the shame that comes with realizing they're lost. And they have a hard time swallowing that pride. And they have a hard time getting over that first time per se. And I'm not preaching a salvation of works, for it's by, as the brother read to us in Ephesians 2 and 8, for it's by grace through faith are we saved. I realize that. But you know what? It's a work of the Holy Ghost of God in us and through us and through us believing and trusting and calling out and begging Him to save us tonight.
Yes, sir.
Boy, old Mephibosheth, I believe the first several days, he couldn't believe it was real. And there's times in my life, Brother Joe, I can't believe it's real. I can't believe because I know what I know. I still know how I feel in. I know how I think sometimes. I know how I get discouraged with church folks in general. And you know what? We're living in a day when you can preach and preach and preach and preach and you hardly ever see any movement anymore. We live in that, and I'm not saying that so people will flock to the altar tonight. If God's impressed you, God's dealt with you, come. If He ain't, I wouldn't waste my time. But I'm not saying all that just to make folks come. But boy, a lot of times pastoring and preaching, it gets discouraging along the way. There's been times I've said, "I'm done. I'm finished. I'm finished." Well, I've been to the place where old Jeremiah was at. And I said, I'm not doing it anymore. I don't think Jeremiah was really disappointed with God. He was disappointed with the people. He got his eyes on the wrong thing. Got his eyes on the movement of the people. And that's the way I do a lot of times. I believe Jeremiah's biggest disappointment was the people wouldn't move and they wouldn't hear. And Jeremiah preached and preached and preached and told them. And they said, "We know the old past way, but we don't want anything to do with it. We know that way, but we don't desire it any longer." And Jeremiah said, "I've quit. There ain't no need for me to go on no more. I don't want to preach the same message again." But oh, can I remind you tonight, man of God, the Word of God still got power. It's still got power. You know what? Surely that's what needs to be preached more in this day than any other day before us is the gospel. Is the gospel tonight. Old Jeremiah said, "I'm done. I've been there. If I had to keep it, I'd have been done a long time ago. But it's not mine. I'm not my own."
Right. Amen.
Jeremiah was quitting in one verse and he was ready to preach in the next.
Amen.
He said, "I've quit. I'm done." He said, "But His word was in my heart."
Yes, sir.
Don't tell me the word don't have power.
Right.
He said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, though I tried to fight it back, though I didn't want to say nothing, he said, it made me weary just to sit in my seat any longer. He said, I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. And you say, what did he do? I believe he jumped to his feet and told how good a God he served. I believe he jumped to his feet and he said, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's be discouraging sometimes along the way. I know that. But he's made us a place to sit at his table. He's made us a place that we'd be just like old Mephibosheth. Though we don't deserve it. And though he loves us, and I'll never know why. Still, when we get there, Joel, I'll never know why that he loves us. It'll be beyond my understanding. But I'm sure I'm glad that he does. Sure I'm glad for the love of God. Sure I'm glad for the deliverance out of Lodibar on day. Thank God. Mephibosheth, he didn't know what to say. You know what? I don't know how people can push off the Holy Ghost. I don't know how they can push away conviction. I believe we see that as being maybe a picture of that here. That here they brought Mephibosheth and said, we're going to give you all this for free. And that's because of who you are. Them calls what you do have, what you don't have. They said, we're going to give you all this for free. And he'd have been a fool to turn around and say, no, take me back to Lodibar. You know what? I wonder how many is going to be a fool all across the land and say, I don't want it. That free gift that was given for you and for me, they turn it away day by day, night by day. Turn it away. But oh, it's the greatest gift that man, woman, boy, or girl could ever receive is the gift of salvation, the gift of being at the King's table. Boy, I sure am glad we're going to dine with Him forever. Thank God tonight. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Oh, Paul reminded us there in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. You know what? I'm glad that God don't see me that way anymore. You know what? When old Mephibosheth got at David's table, he couldn't see his lameness anymore. But he seen him just like everybody else that's sitting around the table. You know what? I'm glad that table, I thought about that representing the blood of Christ being put upon me and put upon you, that God don't see us as a sinner anymore. But he sees us tonight as his son. Ain't you glad for that? He's coming soon. He's coming in days and times like we're seeing. I'm glad that he delivered me out of Lodibar one day. Thank God for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Good for this privilege and this opportunity tonight.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God David Johnson made that covenant.
That's right.
Amen. Thank God for that. Bless the Lord. Amen.